If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 is where we're going to be today. Last week, I shared on what if, and the question was, what if we fully gave our lives to Christ? And today's kind of going to be somewhat the same, but more focusing on be the light. That is the title here. It's Be the Light. If you've been around this summer, you've seen the shirts we were selling. That's our theme. That was our theme for our missions trip. But that was also our theme for youth group this year. Every year we've had youth group. We've kind of picked a theme that we kind of focus on as a youth group. The first year and kind of our overall theme for our youth is firmly rooted. That no matter where our kids go once they graduate high school, or if they move, that they are firmly rooted in their faith, that they would not be easily pulled away from what they believe, and they can share why they believe it. Last year, ours was having a servant's heart, looking in ways to serve. And so this year, we looked at being the light. And so the question I want to ask you today is, are you being the light? It sounds like a pretty simple question, and it goes with our scripture last week was Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we talked about how we have to live fully for Christ. When we are on this earth, we are here to live for him. If we're giving our all to Jesus, and then if we are believers, we're supposed to be lights for him. So in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. As we're looking at this passage, I want to look at kind of three parts to this. The first part here is we need to see who is Paul talking to in this, or who is the author talking to in this. It says right at the very beginning, you are the light of the world. Who is that you? And that you is believers. If you have put your faith and trust and Jesus Christ and what he did for all of us on the cross, you are part of that that needs to be a light. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and just like last week, you don't know the answer to that question, what if you died tonight? Do you know if you would go to heaven? And so that's where we want to start today, is that if you are sitting here today and you do not know if Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, if you are questioning that at all, that is what you need to figure out first. Who is your Lord and Savior? Who do you put your faith in? And I would ask you that don't leave here without answering that question. Pastor Jim, Pastor Jason, myself, one of our elders would love to talk with you. And as I thought of this, you are the light of the world, I was thinking of our trip to Trinidad, and Three people came to mind, and 3 years ago, we went on this trip once before. 3 years ago, I got to take Tate Kettlehut, Jake Freemark, Stacy Seaman, and myself. We went and got to stay with the same people, and I actually preached on these three men and how they impacted my life, and getting to come back. These were the first three men I was looking forward to seeing again, because they are the lights in Trinidad. Trinidad is a culture with lots of people from India. Hindu is a very, very big religion there. And there is a lot of demonic activity. The little boy that Shariah shared about, Darian, Pastor Ronnie has a story about how Darian's mom, Pastor Ronnie would get called over multiple times to basically cast demons out of Darian's mom. And Pastor Ronnie was able to witness and share, and now their family has been attending that church since Darian was a very young age. But there was things going on there that I think as Americans, as our team, we sat there and we were like, man, we didn't understand it because it's not the same. But it's a very dark place. And Pastor Ronnie has taken that and he said, this is what I want. I need to start this church. And so he started this church, Hope Community Church in Sangre Grande. A very, very dark place, a very poor place. And he is trying to shine everywhere he goes. But after Pastor Ronnie, there was another one I was looking forward to, and his name is Himna Singh. And Himna is someone very special to me, and I think to the guys, Bradley and Noah, and I see Tate smiling because he knows Himna too. And Himna is the guy that all of us gentlemen got to stay with. He opened up his house. He has three boys himself, and he opened up his house to us guys. And one of the hardest working men I know, he owns a construction company, and he would go to work, he'd come back, he would pick us up for things, but he always made sure to take care of us. And he loves to cook, which was good, because us guys ate a lot of food. We tried a lot of new things, including pigtail. And all the guys liked it. You'll have to ask them about it. But Himna was another one I was excited to see, but he was a guard in a prison for 30 plus years. And to see men that Himna would see on the street, we'd go get food and he'd see guys and he'd go up and talk to them, shake their hand, they'd see us. And then he'd go, yeah, he was in prison for like 10 years or something like that. And okay, like, I'm glad I'm with you, but just the light that he had. And then the last one that I was excited to see was a man named Max. Max is another really big guy, working security. And his wife and him were Hindu as well. And they came to know Christ, I think he said, about 10 years ago. And just to see that the love that he has, the love for his family, and just always checking on us, always wanting to help us out. And I thought, man, those are great examples that our team got to see. And I thought, are we being those examples? And so as I thought of this, we're going to transition to my second part, which is that we must stand out. We must stand out. Look at verse 14b and 15. It says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. As I thought of these three men, I thought, man, these guys, they stood out. They stood out. They were godly. They were men that you could tell the church looked up to. And I thought, man, as believers, we need to be standing out. That illustration that's used here, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Or a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Living out here now for a while, you learn that things can be very, very far apart, and it can get really, really dark. And I remember one night actually coming home from the Hans house and driving, and, you know, it's a long drive home, and it's dark. And I remember we went down this hill, and it was dark. And I'm like, man, how does that? That doesn't make me feel comfortable. I don't like this. But as soon as we got up on that hill, we saw this light far away, and I asked Marissa, I said, how far do you think that light is? And she said, oh, it's got to be, miles away. But even just seeing that light going, man, this is so comforting. And so I thought, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We might be far away from other people, but people should still be able to see that light that we have. But the illustration of people do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. I thought of this illustration, and I thought, well, man, this is a really simple illustration. Like, why would you light a lamp? And we're not thinking of, like, electricity. We're thinking of probably a candle. And they put it in the middle of the room so it would shine everywhere. And the writer here is talking about how we should not be putting, you know, a basket over, because that makes no sense. You're defeating the purpose of the light. It's wasting it. I think of growing up, and for my kids now, when they go in a room, they turn on a light, they'll spend 2 seconds in the room, and then they walk away. And what do parents say? Turn off the light, you're wasting money. right? Like, you're wasting my money. And when I was little, I was like, man, you're so mean, Dad. And now I'm like, this is costing me money, all right? I don't have a lot of this. And we're making the same thing here. We're saying that if you light that, but you put a basket over it, you're wasting that. And that can only last for so long. We're supposed to let it shine. And the skit that the Sunshine Ministry team did for us, I believe in January, February, they came and they did a few skits for us. And the one was about this plane that crashes. And this plane crashes, and there's about a group of five that get off the plane, and they're trying to find civilization. So they're walking in a line, and the captain asks, does anyone have some kind of light? And they sit there, and then next, the stewardess behind him says, I have some matches. And they're so excited being out in the middle of nowhere. It's dark, it's probably cold, and they're sitting there, and he's so excited about matches because that little light is going to help. And so they start walking with that light, and they're walking carefully, and they're going. And as they keep walking, things start to happen to some of them behind them. First, one of them apparently gets eaten by a bear, or something happens. The second one hits a tree and falls. The stewardess all of a sudden just kind of disappears. And the only ones that are left are the captain and Johnson, who's in the very, very back, and somehow has gotten past all of this. And during the skit, you know what's happening, but the whole time, Johnson's in the very back of this, shining a flashlight, holding it and shining it, and every time he sees something, he moves around it. And the captain's sitting there as they're walking, and he's almost out of matches, and he says, you amaze me, Johnson. Like, how, you must have great night vision. And all of a sudden, the captain runs out of matches, and he falls into a hole, and he's scared, and he's like, I don't know what to do. And so he starts yelling for Johnson, Johnson, help! Johnson shows up, oh, hey, there you are, and shines the light on him. And the captain's, you have a flashlight? Why wouldn't you tell me you have a flashlight? And my favorite part is the excuses that Johnson uses. He goes, well, you didn't specifically ask for a flashlight. You asked for a light, but you didn't ask specifically for a flashlight. And, well, I didn't really want to impose. And you seemed so excited about the matches, I thought that was good. And you see that and you're like, man, how silly of an illustration, just like the one here. But then I think of my excuses. I think of the reasons that I put that basket over my light. I try to hide it. I use excuses like, well, I don't want to be different. I just want to fit in. I'm going to a new school. I'm at a new job. I feel like I'm not going to fit in. So I'm just going to kind of go with the flow. I'll just kind of hide that light for a little bit. And maybe someone will ask me about it. I was afraid to share about my faith because I don't know if I'd know the answers if they asked them. And so I just don't look like a fool. I was afraid of rejection. I'm a people person. I don't want people to think I'm weird. Those are my excuses. And as I think of those excuses, what I'm really trying to protect is not anything else but my pride and myself. You see, we have this light just like Johnson did. And it's this light that we need. This light that every single person needs. But because we're thinking of like, well, I don't want to impose. Well, he was so excited about this. I don't want to step in the way. But what we're doing is we're not sharing the thing that we need the most to share. And as I thought of that, and as I thought of how do we stand out, again, going back to our missions trip, when we got to Trinidad, for some reason, as soon as we got off the plane, people knew we were different. Something about us was different. I don't know if it was our clothes, maybe the color of our skin. I mean, the blonde hair, those girls could not get enough of our girls' hair because it was blonde, it was soft. Every day they wanted to play with their hair, but they knew we were different. We stood out. We could not hide in Trinidad. We could not hide in Sangre Grande. I don't think we saw any other white people until we went to the mall. And even then we saw them and we were like, wow, hey, we're not so different. All right. We were excited. But as I thought of that and how we hid, how we were there, we stood out. But we stood out for a different reason. As soon as we got to Sangreganda, we would see people, and as soon as they saw us, they would ask us, are you here for a missions trip? And we said, yeah. Because not a lot of people go to Sangreganda to just vacation there. I actually, from what Pastor Ronnie says, he knows of no one that will come to their town to just vacation. They'll come to other parts of Trinidad. But when they saw us there, they knew we were here for a purpose. And I remember our mission, as we were coming home, all of our students said, you know, it was really easy to share our testimonies there. A lot of them had never really shared their testimonies in front of a big group. And they said, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought. It was actually a lot easier to share my faith over there. And I shared with them, and I said, do you know why? And I said, it's not called a missions trip for no reason. It's because that was our mission. We had set our eyes on this is what we're going to be doing. From the day we decided we're going on this trip and when we're going, we started praying. We started praying for everyone that we'd come in contact with. We started praying for ourselves and saying, Lord, help us to point others to you. That was our focus the entire trip. We knew we came here and that's what we were going to do. And I shared, it's going to be harder when we get back because we get back around our friends and our peers, and our co-workers. And that mission of sharing Christ, that's not our main mission anymore. Our main mission is to get up for work, to get ready for school, to whatever it is that day. That's what we focus on. Being the youth pastor here, many times I hear people come up to me and they'll say, Pastor Andrew, I'd really like for you to come share about Jesus with my friend. I really want you to share with them. And I'm like, absolutely, I'd love to. But then I stopped and I said, have you been sharing with them? And sometimes they'll say, well, yeah, I'm trying, you know, it just doesn't seem working. But a lot of times I'll see, kinda. I've invited them to youth group, I've invited them to church. And I said, well, have you told them about Jesus? I mean, yeah, I guess in a way, like they know I'm a believer. And we go right back to those excuses. Well, you didn't specifically ask for a light. I mean, he was kind of excited about youth group, so I thought, oh, okay, we'll get him to come there, and then we'll be good. And I talk to them, and I tell my teens, and I'll tell you guys that you that work wherever you are have more opportunity to share the love of Jesus than I do, than Pastor Jim does. Because you are around people every day that are open. If someone would just share it. Pastor Jim and I would love for people just to show up every day into our office and say, hey, I'm here to know who Jesus is. Great, come on in. For some reason, it doesn't work that way. And I tell the teens too, I said, these people that are coming to you, you've built a relationship. You know their goods, their bads, and they trust you. And as soon as you say, oh, here, Pastor Andrew's here to talk to you, this wall comes up. Because they're like, oh, pastor, that's the title. I gotta think what I say. I gotta be careful. And there's this wall. You've torn down that wall already. And we would love to come alongside you. But that is just as much your job as mine, is to share the good news, to be that light. What is your mission? When we wake up, what is your mission? Every day I have to wake up and I have to remind myself that today I'm going to try to serve God in whatever way I can. And you might say, well, yeah, that's easy. You're a pastor, like that's your job, but it's hard at times. There's other things going on. There's things that I want to do. There's other things that distract me, just like you. And I have to choose it. And if I'm honest, every day I don't choose it. I don't choose that every day my mission is this. And I have to work on that. But we need to ask ourselves, what is your mission? Chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When we decide to shine our light, we are not shining our light to do it for our own attention, our own glory. Okay? We are to do it to give the glory to our Father. It says that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. We are shining that light so that they may see the love of God through us and our actions and see that and then want to know more. We need to make that our mission. It was, like I said, I shared before, it was awesome to see those five students give up 2 weeks of their time to say that I'm going to give my all for these next 2 weeks to share the gospel. It was a huge testimony. Awesome to see Star use vacation time to say, I'm going to come here and I'm going to share Jesus' love. Each and every one of them got to share their testimony, rather at church or at youth group. And they shared it, and the whole point was to point people to Christ. It wasn't about their story and how, you know, like, look at me and where I came from. No, it was to say, look at God and who he took. He took me. He loved me enough, and he loves you enough. The last Sunday we were there, Star gave her testimony. And she did an amazing job. And she shared of her faith and how her life has changed. And to see all those women in the church just love on her and to be like, man, that is an awesome testimony. And to see all the praise going to God. A few of the praises that we've talked about, but I want to reiterate, was, again, Wednesday, we were able to share the gospel message. And at the end of this, at the end of the VBS, Pastor Ronnie got up and re-gave the gospel message. And one of the coolest things, and something I will never forget, I will never hear that again, or hear something like that, was hearing 55 plus children calling out to God in prayer and saying, Lord, I need you. I love you, and I thank you for what you did for me, and I know I've messed up. 55 plus children. I mean, it was so loud, but to hear it and just sit there and saying, glory to God. And that was the best part, is because you knew all the glory was going to God. It wasn't this American team that had come to share it. It was all about God. Talking to Pastor Ronnie a couple weeks ago, there has been 3 new families that have come to the church through the vacation Bible school, through the youth group, but not just the kids, but parents. And all 3 sets of parents were non-believers and have come to know Christ and are walking with him. Glory to God. And he said, you know, we thank you for being a part of that. And I said, you know, yeah, all the glory goes to God. And the other huge praise we have is that we were able to be a part of the first ever vacation Bible school at Hope Community Church in Sangre Grande. But the praise is that that's not going to be the last one. The praise is that those 30 to 40 leaders at the end of that week, as we got together, they said, we're doing this next year. They said, we're going to teach it next year. Praise God. That is why we went. We went to share, but to encourage them to start it themselves. And so that is the plan. And the CE board has already talked about how we want to stay involved with Hope Community Church and how we want to send material so that this church can do this vacation Bible school. We might not be there physically, but we can be there in prayer. And support. That's our mission. That is how we can be a light. We can be a light all the way from here and still shine all the way in Trinidad. All over the world. If you look at our wall of all the missionaries that we support, and a lot of you support individually, that's being a light. As we leave, I want to ask you this. Are you being the light? Are you willing to let God use you? And if you let God use you, let me tell you, you get the privilege of being a part of something amazing. You get to be a part of something that you didn't deserve to be a part of. But God wants to use you as a tool. And our team got to witness those 55 plus kids accept Christ. Our team got to witness 10 to 20 kids recommit their lives to Christ at youth group. We got to witness people's lives change and to see God get the glory. That is something that we had the privilege of. And so are you willing to let God use you? And let me share this with you. Before you say, yes, I'm willing to let God use me, make sure that you mean that. Because if you're sitting here going, yeah, that'd be great. If God can use me, you know, at like good times, God's going to call you at times that you're not expecting it. God says, I want you fully. I want you to live your entire life saying that, whatever, God, I am yours. I remember sitting in youth group and thinking, yeah, I'd let God use me, but then make excuses for every time. I remember when I started a job at Ace Hardware in Eaton, Colorado, I prayed that God would let me be able to witness to somebody. And I had a guy come start working about the same time as me. And the first day we started talking, he said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just here for the summer. I'm getting ready to go back to Bible school. Oh, okay. And that's about all I went through with that. The next day we talked a little bit more, and I said, you know, yeah, he asked a few more questions. But I just kind of was like, oh, whatever. I'm not going to do this. But every day I was praying for God, give me an opportunity. And every day this guy kept asking me, and I kept pushing it off. And finally, the last day, he comes up to me, and I remember right before I was going to leave, and he said, you know, I'd like to believe in God too, but I just don't know if he's really there. And I remember going, okay, God, I got it. I know, I need to do this. And those excuses went away. And that was the same thing. As I said, God, I want you to use me, but I want you to use me there. When I was in Bible school, God, I want you to use me, but I want to be 2 hours from home. God, I want you to use me, but I want to be this place. God, 5 hours is as far as I'm going to go. And finally, God says, I'd rather have all of you or none of you. And I said, all right, God, I'm yours. Marissa and I said, we'll go wherever you want us. And he called us to a place that we thank God for every day. St. Lawrence, South Dakota. Are you making your mission every day to be pointing others to Christ, to shine that light, or are you hiding your light under a basket? We need to stop making excuses and say, God, I'm all yours. Let that be your prayer today. Again, as we close, and as some of the team said, I want to say a personal thank you to all, every single one of you guys, for this church and for supporting our missions trip and what we did. You've not only changed the lives of many in Trinidad, but each and every one of our lives. Please take time to talk with the five that are here today to ask them more about their trip. And continue to pray for us seven. That we would not let what happened in Trinidad, that we would not just push that to the side now. But pray for each other and for yourself. That we would be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to shine for you no matter what. I surrender all to you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity to hear about this missions trip, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the men and women in this room that have shined bright for you for years. Lord, we pray for those of us that are maybe hiding our lights. Maybe that we're kind of dimming that light. Lord, that we would want to shine bright. We would take that basket off and make it our mission to love you and to serve you every day. Lord, help us to spread that light to St. Lawrence, to Miller, to South Dakota, to the United States, and to this world. Lord, we thank you for those missionaries and the people all around this world that are shining for you in dark places and maybe places where they might be persecuted. But Lord, they know that you are well worth it. And so Lord, we pray for them. We pray that you would continue to give them boldness. Give us boldness as we leave here today. I pray these things in your name. Amen.